Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, how are you doing today? Please come join me. This podcast is an open door for those seeking a little hope to spark a fire. This is Spread Hope Like Fire, the podcast. I'm your host, Tony the Bee. I bring this podcast to the world every Thursday, each and every week, but as you've noticed, I've been absent for the last 2 weeks. And we will get into a little bit about what's going on with me. Do a little therapy session. So, I like to mention that this is a listener-supported podcast, supported by listeners like you. You can rate, review, share, like, and subscribe to the podcast. Also, you can head over to patreon.com/spreadhopelikefire and become a patron. You can get this podcast several ways. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and every other major podcast outlet. Like I said, let's get into it. Let's just jump right in. Let's do a little therapy with me. I have been gone for the last two weeks, and hopefully you've noticed. If you haven't, that's not a good sign, but I am back. A little scare over the last 2 weeks. As everybody knows, my mom had surgery to remove what is called a staghorn kidney stone. And if you don't know what that is utter hell. So you have your kidney, and inside your kidney are crevices. And what a staghorn kidney stone is a kidney stone that pretty much encompasses all that area with inside your kidney and all those crevices, which blocks your kidney. So she had to have that removed. Surgery was a success, but there were complications. And so we brought her home, got her nice and cozy as much as possible. And about a few days after that, she started having pains in her chest, and she wasn't able to breathe, and I ended up taking her over to the emergency room where they did some blood tests, did a CAT scan. And so let me paint this picture for you. We're sitting there. Well, I'm sitting there. They had wheeled her off to take a CAT scan, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking nothing's going to come of it, that maybe she's just tired or, you know, I mean, that's the most I thought was going to come out of it, was that she was just tired and that she just needed some time to rest. And so they came back. The doctor had come back, rushed back, actually, into the room. And that's where it all began. He had told me that he was pretty sure my mom was going to have is having a heart attack. So with that news, I kind of blanked out. I didn't know what to do. I sat there and made the usual phone calls, and it brought me back to 2 years ago where we thought my mom was going to die because she went into AFib, and that wasn't a fun experience either, so I was just kind of having an anxiety attack, panic attack, all at the same time, trying to breathe, and hyperventilating. So I thought I was pretty much going to tell my mom, hey, move over, you know, I got to get into this bed next to you because I'm going to die too. So I called my sister and my brothers and Shirelli, and we all made the trek out to Santa Barbara to the hospital where they transported her to. And it's something that I normally do by myself. Like when something happens with my mom, it's usually something where I have to go to the hospital by myself, and I sit there and ask all the questions and worry. And this time was different. It was a lot different. I had had family around me, which is a little, it was a little strange at first, but I was very thankful. And I remember saying a little prayer and asking God to protect my mom, and also thanking him for bringing our family back together, and bringing us as siblings back together, and not having me do this by myself on my own, which, I mean, I say on my own, but, you know, you get what I mean. I don't know if you do. I do. It's kind of hard to explain, but so they had admitted her. She wasn't having a heart attack. She had a blood clot, which is, what do they call that? Pulmonary embolism. That's what it was. And, sorry, my phone went off. So she had a pulmonary embolism, and the doctors had said that it was small and that it was small enough that they had to watch it, and they were going to put her on blood thinners, and that she had a high chance of it going into her heart. But as long as they monitored it, they would be able to make sure, they would be able to tell by the next hour or two if it was going to or not. So I watched it, and luckily everything turned out fine, and she's home now, and that's why I had been gone for 2 weeks. So it's good to be back. It's good to have the it's good to have the support back. It's good to have family back together. And later on down the line, I'll get into more details about what I mean by family getting back together. And as everybody knows, I'm very candid. So, but that brings me to today. So I'm back with the podcast, and I am excited, and I have another guest on. It's my buddy Sledge. He's a professional wrestler. Big time professional wrestler. I'm not being sarcastic. He's doing really good, and I'm very proud of this guy. He just got back from the UK. He did a tour out there, and man, he's doing big things. And Just to get you back a little backstory of why I have him on is, he suffers from addiction, and he had hit his rock bottom, not the actual WWF rock bottom, but he hit his rock bottom in life, and it happened at a wrestling show that he was at, and it was called Vendettaversary, and I don't want to get too much into it. I'm not trying to bash or bring negativity, but just there was an event that happened that night with him, and where someone almost got hurt, and he hit his rock bottom. And so we're going to get into that, and we're going to get into where he's at now in life and how he manages his recovery and what things he's up to. So I'd like to throw it over to me and Sledge, my buddy Sledge.
What's going on, guys? It's the Metalhead Maniac Sledge, and you are listening to Spread Hope Like Fire.
So today on the show, we've got a special guest, Sledge, professional wrestler. Very talented guy. So I wanted to welcome you to the show. How's it going, buddy?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
So how long have you been wrestling?
7 years now.
Has it been 7 years? Dang, yeah. Time's flying.
Time flies, yeah.
You're a veteran now.
I wouldn't go that far. But, you know, I'm working up the vet card.
Yeah, you're very. I remember seeing you at a couple of your first matches, and I could tell that there was something that differentiated yourself from the other students when I went to those underground shows. And you have your own Fed now, right?
I do not have my own Fed. That is a very misleading thing. I used to book for Sin Cal Pro Wrestling. I helped start Sin Cal Pro Wrestling, but I no longer do any of that because my wrestling schedule kind of took over. So I kind of handed off the reins of my best buddy, JD Horror, and Dominic Balsamo. They're taking care of it now. So
okay, sounds about right. So misleading information. All right, so let's get back onto some information. Let's talk. Do you want to talk about some of your sobriety and kind of share how it began?
Yeah, that's fine. I have now been clean for almost 5 years.
Congratulations. That's a long trek right there.
It's very long. It's been very tough. I battle addiction every single day.
Yeah,
I was addicted to alcohol and pain pills. I hurt my back wrestling and being dumb, being drunk. I landed on a full beer can and then busted some discs in my back. And I was going through a lot of personal stuff with my ex-wife and just a lot of things. You know, I got the rocket to my back pretty quick. And I took full advantage of it and partying and all that fun stuff. And it led to a divorce. And it led to me getting in the ring at Vendettaversary, I want to say it was. Completely drunk out of my mind and completely pilled out of my mind. And almost cost me my whole wrestling career. It took me a long time to get back to where I am now. To almost wrestling almost full time. So
that's quite a story. At Vendettaversary, you said you're intoxicated?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's all on YouTube. I don't know where the link is, but I was completely intoxicated. I was drunk from the night before and kept drinking the next day. Me and JD were in a Seven Stages of Hell match or whatever you want to call it. And I've never been in one of those before. I've never taken barbed wire or thumbtacks or fire or anything like that. So,
nothing like JD does?
Nothing like JD does, yeah. So I got a little blitzed out of my mind even more than what I was. And I was absolutely pilled out of my mind. And I should have done nothing. I should have never walked through that curtain. It was a bad idea for me to go through that curtain. And I did. And... you know, the footage speaks for itself. I couldn't do anything really.
So that was your bottom then, was that night.
My wife just left me, took my newborn child, just left me. I burned a lot of bridges. So yeah, that was kind of my rock bottom. Definitely was, it was about 2 days later. I was sitting at home and, I was drinking a beer no one's returning my text messages. No one's calling me. Nobody wants to be around me. And I called JD Hoare and I go, hey, man. And he goes, I go, why isn't anybody returning my text? Why isn't anybody calling me? He's like, I don't know if I can cuss on here or not, so I'll keep it clean. He goes, you're messed up, man. You need help. And I chose to get sober. My daughter didn't want to be, my oldest didn't want to be around me. Because I was just completely blitzed out of my mind every time I was around her. It wasn't a fun time for me. So, it's made me a better person than who I am today. So,
well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I come from a family of addiction. I think everybody does. My father was, an addict. He was drug addict, alcoholic. So I can relate to your story and your struggles. What progressed you towards recovery, and what kind of recovery did you partake in?
I wanted my life back. I wanted my people to be around me again, and I wanted to wrestle, and I knew that I had a lot of making up to do. So I chose to get sober. I got JD Hoare on FaceTime, and we were talking, and I went in my room, and I dumped all the pills out that I had in my underwear drawer that I had. I dumped out everything else that I was on, and I told him, just check on me, man. And I dumped out all the alcohol in my house, and I haven't looked back. So I went cold turkey, which from what I understand wasn't the best thing to do, but I did. So gradually started, I felt sick and nasty, and I couldn't fucking get, I got sweats, and I called into work, told him I need a couple days off. And I woke up one day, man, and I was just like, I could see clearly now, you know, and I haven't looked back. And I battled addiction. I battled it. You know, I wanted to drink. You know, hey, I've almost had 5 years clean. I can control my alcohol. I want to go have beer with my friends. And, you know, but I know that stigma's still around me. And that stigma's still, getting that, oh, crap, Sledge is drinking again. Watch out. You know, stuff like that. And I don't want that stigma around me. So I choose not to. So, I mean, it's some people program, you know, to help them with their addiction. You know, the 12-step program, going to NA and AA. I've never been to one of those meetings at all. And it works for some people, and some people, you know, have strong minds, and then, you know, mind over matter. And I believe the mind is such a beautiful thing that if you really want to do something, you really want to put yourself, you really want to accomplish something, the mind is the best place to go about doing it, you know.
That is true. There is, there are programs, but you got to do what's best for yourself and do what works for you and what's going to keep you clean. It's no one's business on, you know, how someone gets clean, as long as they're clean and, you know, retakes their life and lives the dream. You're living the dream, my friend. You're doing what you love. And,
I'm trying to, man. I shine some light on the situation. It's rough, man. I still have that stigma, around me, you know, being that knucklehead, and some people don't want to book me because of that. And at the same time, though, I'm doing really awesome and amazing things right now. So I really don't really care what people think. I'm doing what I love to do, and I'm doing it on my own terms. And if nobody likes that, then I'm sorry. And if you like that, then rock and roll. Welcome to the ride, you know? So, you know, I just don't want to stand still in the wrestling business. And that's one of the things, is a lot of people, you know, they get used to just working. They're the same people over and over again, and doing the same thing over and over again, and working different, you know, working the same places over and over again. I don't want to do that. I want to work new places and work new people and keep learning. And I had the opportunity to do that over this past week when I was in Vegas, and I got to work with FSW and Sway Thompson and D'Lo Brown And
The real deal now.
The real deal, D'Lo, yeah, you know, and he critiqued my match, and I sent him another match just today, actually. And D'Lo is a great guy, great human being, and wants to see the young generation come up. So
that's good. We're all about positivity on the podcast, and it's good to see. I did see, I follow you on Instagram, and I did see that you were working Vegas. And how do you navigate the wrestling business? Because I was a student for a while with Tsunami and them back in the day when we were in Billy started up CWA. And how do you navigate staying sober with an environment that's so, I mean,
addictive heavy?
Yeah, it's chaotic. It's hard to, I know it's hard for a lot of people. Like Colt Cabana is he's one of the guys that is in the wrestling business, and he stays sober and clean, and he's straight edged and whatever. And how do you navigate this business?
Honestly, there's a lot of us that are out there that don't party or drink or do anything like that. Like Brody King is one of the perfect ones. He doesn't drink. He's straight edge. Matt Cross is another one that straight edged. Who else? There's so many guys that I didn't even know were straight edge, and I was like, wow, you got straight edge, cool. Now I'm not straight edged. I've never I can't say that I'm straight edged, because being straight edge is that you've never touched the stuff. Yeah. I have touched the stuff. So and a lot of people find that as me being a dick. I guess, can I say that? Because I don't go to the after parties and I don't party with them afterwards. And usually in a locker room, I'm usually kind of sitting in the corner and minding my business and listening to other people put their matches together. So I don't go out there and do the same stuff that they did, you know. Or I have my headphones in listening to music and thinking about, you know, what's going on and who I'm working and what I can do and how I can entertain. So a lot of people find that me just being very standoffish and me being a dick, and that's okay. You know, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with having that stigma of me, because they don't know me normally, you know, on the outside of wrestling. So
yeah,
that's all people do.
You're really a cool guy. I mean, I've met you a few times, talked to you outside of the ring. I think we've went to Applebee's a couple times, and this is way back when, though. And I mean, there's that stigma still. And psychologically, what does that do to you, knowing that people don't want to book you, or people don't want to associate with you still because of that stigma of the past you? A lot of people that fight sobriety and fight a recovery, because recovery and sobriety it's an everyday battle.
Absolutely.
You're never, recovery is going to be a lifetime. That's what a lot of people don't understand, is recovery, it's an everyday battle. And so how do you deal with this stigma that's associated with you? Most people that are in recovery, they end up relapsing because of all of the stuff that's associated with their past, and it's hard for them to mentally take that in and accept it.
That's a great point. It really is. And thank you for asking that question. That's a really cool question. I've done a lot of podcasts where they talk about my sobriety and stuff like that, but no one's ever asked me that question of how I stay on track, you know, with all, I consider them haters. You know, I guess there would be haters. How do I stay committed to it? Cause I have goals, you know. I'm not in this business to say I'm a professional wrestler, you know, just to be a weekend warrior. You know, I'm in this business cause I love this business, and I've loved this business since I was 3 years old. And I've always loved professional wrestling, and the chances that I've had, and I'm so goal oriented that it's stupid And all I do is just put those haters, they can hate me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and anywhere else. They can call me, but none of them are going to say it to my face.
They're just keyboard warriors.
That's it. No one's going to say it to my face. And if they do, then, you know, cool. You know, that's your opinion about me. That's not that guy's opinion about me or your opinion or the other person next to you's opinion. That's your opinion. And you're right to your opinion. I'm so I don't want to step out of bounds here, but I don't really hold my tongue very well with certain things. Mm-hmm. And I think that I have such a bad stigma in California wrestling for a lot of the stupid stuff that I used to do and all that fun stuff that a lot of people do not take chances on booking me, especially up in Northern California. That's why I'm trying to break away from Northern California wrestling and kind of go more to SoCal. And because the SoCal guys are just, they're way more, I want to say humble. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're more welcoming. They're more inviting. And there's a lot of good guys down there that I want to work. You know, there's some guys up in NorCal that I still kind of want to work, like, you know, Jacob Fatu. And, you know, I would really like to get another round with Kratos because I've never really – I've wrestled Kratos once when we were both, like, super green. But there's a lot of guys in SoCal that are just so good that I would love to get my hands on. And same with Vegas. There's a lot of Vegas guys and Arizona guys and New Mexico guys and Texas guys. And just California's not all – it's cracked up to be with professional wrestling. It's the other states where I see other people doing cool stuff, and I'm like, I want to be a part of that. So I put my mind to it, and I'm going to be there. You know, my focus right now, a lot of my focus right now is I have a huge thing coming up next week that I've been training my butt off for. I'm in the best shape that I've ever been in. Even I've shredded, even when I started this, I was like 240. I've shredded 20 pounds before, you know, this tryout that I have next week. And, you know, getting out of state, you know, is my big goal, and just staying goal oriented is the way that I stay sober. And I have a great support system at home with somebody who keeps me grounded, that will call me on my bullshit. So,
yeah. Support is something that people with addiction disorders and struggle with addiction. Support is like the best thing that is out there. That's why 12-step works so well. And I mean, if you have a support system built in, that, like you said, that you have, and that they call you out when they need to, I mean, that's good. I mean, how would you compare and contrast your wrestling career sober and not being sober?
Complete 180. I'm a lot more mature now. You know, I wasn't that mature back in the day, and it was all about booze and women and all that other fun stuff.
Good times.
All the good times, you know. But I'm a lot more mature now. I'm a lot more focused. I'm a lot more goal driven. I mean, I'm 32 years old. Don't have a whole lot of time left in the business. So I want to make my mark as much as I can in the business to possibly pass along to my daughter if she wants to get into the business. You know, I've won championships. I've wrestled for big companies. I've bumped in every major ring, every major corporation that there is in the world. You know, I've had great opportunities. You know, 2018 has been a great year. You know, I've done TNA. I just did Championship Wrestling in Hollywood with the NWA World Champion.
I seen that.
I've done WWE Raw. And now I have another major company that I'm going to be working with next week that I'm very, very excited about for 3 days. And it's going to be 3 days of hell. My buddies are there right now, and they've been telling me that it's complete change and it's hell. And be ready for pain and suffering. And I'm ready, man. I'm mentally ready and focused.
But that's so good. That's good news right there. I mean, do you think you would achieve this if you were still on that path that you were on prior to sobriety?
No way. No. I mean, I had a WWE tryout in 2013 when they first opened up the Performance Center. I was the first one to ever have a tryout in there. With Joey Ryan, it was me, Joey Ryan, Todd Smith, who is now known as Warbeast, Warbeard, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, from the War Raiders.
Yeah.
Eddie Edwards, David Richards. Who else was there? Keith Lee was there. There's just so many good guys. I was so out of my league. I really was. I was out of my element. I was so messed up on pain pills and shit. And I did Monday Night Raw and SmackDown the week before, and I got, you know, they were like, dude, you have too unique of a look for us to use for TV. I was like, all right, cool, I understand. So I kind of stood around on pens and needles all the time. You know, my big old mohawk sticking up. And I took a long layoff from WWE. It is my first time this year actually being back in contact with them. I didn't contact them. I did nothing with them because I didn't believe that I deserved it. And I didn't believe that I earned it. And I didn't believe that I was physically and mentally ready for it. And I got really heavy about a year and a half ago where I was 320 pounds. I was out of shape. I had no teeth. big old beard. My front teeth are fake.
That's what'll happen in the wrestling business. You'll lose your teeth a lot of the times.
Actually, it wasn't the wrestling business. It was my shoot job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude, I fell off a ladder like 16 feet up and let the ladder to the ground, knocked my front teeth out.
What a bump.
and laughed about it. And my boss is like, you're crazy. He's like, you're the only one that laughs about getting their freaking teeth knocked out. And I'm like, they went through my lip. My nose got rebroken. It was horrible. That was my old shoot job. That was funny. And he's like, you're the only one that would ever laugh at that. I'm like, I'm the only one that it would ever happen to. That's why I'm laughing about it, you know? But I got in really good shape. I got AJ Kirsch and Mike Matthews and Chris Crotty really helped me get my weight and my fitness back on track and get me motivated. And same thing with with my wife now, my newly, you know, she helped get me back to where I need to be. And I dropped 80 something pounds in the course of a year.
That's
with
good.
With diet and exercise and being focused, and, you know, and that stigma still went around me, you know, like, Sledge is coming back. Like, is he the new Sledge? Is he the old Sledge? What kind of Sledge is he? Is he the Sledge of the Sledger or what, you know? And it's one of those things where it's just like, I have to, you know, I got to put my money where my mouth is and walk to walk and talk to talk, you know? And I believe I've done it so far. So, and I emailed the WWE and they were like, yeah, for sure. Like, I did the recruit thing online and I was like, oh, I probably won't hear from them. Next thing I know, like, I got an email saying, hey, would you like to come to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown? And I was just like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll come back, you know? And then now I've done it twice this year. You know, I've done it in NorCal and SoCal. So it's been pretty cool. So
that's cool. I'd love to see you in the WWE. I think you have that it factor, the look, the wrestling. You've made I've seen the big transformation in you, watching matches of yours online or going to shows that you're at. And it's amazing what sobriety can do for a person. I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr., for instance.
Absolutely.
Like, look, he's Iron Man now. Come on.
Yeah. Right?
And sobriety is just something that people work at, and you can reap so many benefits from this. That what kind of advice would you give someone that's hurting or struggling with addiction?
There is a tomorrow. If you want there to be a tomorrow, You know, if you want to change your life around, you can change your life around. It's just if you're ready to change your life around. Because some addicts aren't ready to change their life around, and they choose to go down the same path. And they, you know, I don't want to say they, I don't want to be politically incorrect here, so I'm trying to watch what I say. You've got to be mentally strong to be sober. And some addicts don't want to be sober. They're not ready to be sober. And some addicts I've seen that are ready to be sober and they're living great lives. It's just one of those things where it's just like, if you're ready to get sober, sobriety is right around the corner. You know, if you're not ready to get sober, you know, there's a big support system out there to help you try to be ready to be sober. You know, and life is better when you are sober, I believe. I don't drink. The people around me don't drink. I try not to have people drink around me. I try not to have people do drugs around me, because it just spikes up that I want to do it again, you know? So it's the people that you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with a bunch of addicts, then you're going to be an addict. If you surround yourself with people that are not addicts, you're not going to be an addict. It's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It's about all about who you associate with. And so did you personally have to cut off anybody from your life that triggered you to want to use, or?
It's funny because I lost so many people that I considered friends. I'm going to put that in parentheses. That I believe that were my best friends and my, you know, my brothers. And I thought they won't. Lost so many of them because I wasn't partying anymore. I wasn't being the party sledge that they all loved to be. You know, they all loved me to be. But my closest friends stuck by me and have stuck by me and will continue sticking by me because those are the people that are important. The other people that were just along for the ride and, you know, and fell off, then that's cool, you know.
Yeah, I think you learn who your friends are. I mean, personally, me, I used to always want to have the most amount of friends or, you know, be the life of the party. And after, when you do change your lifestyle, you do find the drop off of people. You end up finding who really is there, and they're not just friends, they become family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it really opens up your eyes to see who's going to be there at your lowest and who's going to be there to build you up back to your highest. And that gets back into your support systems that you put into place. And outside of wrestling, how would you say that your life has changed? Is it improving outside of wrestling as well, or just inside?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I like to play golf.
That's good times. I'm terrible at it, but it's good times.
A lot of people don't know that, but I don't want to say avid golfer, but I haven't played in like a month because I've been super busy. But I like to go play golf. I love spending time with my family. I love just to, when I'm not busy, I really love to just sit and watch TV, honestly. But I like going to the gym. You know, I like going out and doing things, you know, but I train. I've been training so hard for next week that I've been just so dog tired because I've been wrestling and training and doing everything else that I've just been so dog tired that I haven't had the energy to do much. I've just been so focused on next week that, you know, but when I'm not training or focusing, I love going out and eating. I'm a huge food guy. I love food. I love going to the movies and going and playing pool and, you know, just being me and just having fun.
Just living, you know? Life.
Living life, yeah. I love joking around and having fun. And, I've thought about taking some improv classes, you know, to help me with my acting. I think that would be pretty cool to do. It would be a lot of fun to do. Very nerve-wracking, but I think it would be really cool. Me and Ziggy Dice have definitely talked about doing that together. Yeah, I try to stay busy as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
So,
Has your relationships, because you did say at the beginning, like your daughter and stuff didn't want to talk to you, and has those relationships improved with sobriety?
Oh yeah, for sure, dude. My daughter, me and my oldest are like two peas in a pod, man. We don't like going very long without seeing each other, or at least texting each other and talking to each other, very much, because of she feels like over here is a safe zone compared to where she is now.
Yeah.
So, which is being fixed, is in the process of being fixed. So my daughter, I love hanging out with my kid, man. She's turning 11 on Friday. She actually turns 11 on Friday. And, dude, she's such a nutball. She's just freaking crazy and does anything to make me laugh. And that is just, that warms my heart every time that I see her. And we got special handshakes and, you know, just all kinds of cool stuff to do with her. So
that's so cool to hear how much your life has changed since that one night of, you know, at Vendetta and what happened there. I don't want to get back. I don't want to get into the negative. I just like staying positive. It's so cool to see what life has transformed into for yourself, and how you went from where you were to now. And it's inspirational. I know there's so many people out there struggling right now that are probably listening, and know that, you know, you're not alone. There's always other people that have been where you are, and it's possible. Look at Sledge, for instance. He's been where you're at, and he climbed out of that hole, and he's making good on a lot of things that most people only dream about. And like he said, it's mind over matter a lot of the times. You have to have that mindset that will, I mean, and you know, some people do relapse. It's part of recovery. And I always say, don't look down on those people that relapse. You're not there. You don't have that addiction. You don't know what it's like. And I had a friend that told me one time, actually on the podcast, she said her sister is an addict, and she explained it to her that addiction is like when you're hungry, and you have to feed that hunger, because it's not going to go away. It's just going to intensify, and it's not going to be satisfied until you eat. And that's what addiction is. And you know,
great way to put it. That's a fantastic way to put it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, putting people down because they relapse, that's only going to keep them down. It's about building people up and letting them know that, you know, relapse is okay. It's a normal process of recovery. As long as you get back up and keep walking that line that you need to walk. And it's so good to see that someone like you has come so far, and it's impressive. I can't wait to see what the future has in store for you. And I hope one day too, we'll be able to see you on TV and I know that guy.
I hope that as well. I want that busy wrestler schedule, you know. And there is always, you know, that was a great way to put it, though. You know, how being an addict, like you want to, you know, it's like you're hungry, you want to eat, you know. And that was a great analogy. Like, you got me on that one. That was good.
Oh, yeah, I didn't come up with it. It was my friend Michelle. She was on the podcast last week.
No, but hats off to Michelle for coming up with that, you know. And life's what you make it. It really is. If you want to, you know, be, you know, do whatever you want, man. Life's a dream. You only get one life, you know. And if you dream big, go big, you know. Don't let anybody – that's the thing, though, is I don't let anybody get in my way. You know, if they get in my way, I'm going to knock them down. And that's the bottom line. You know?
That's all you can do.
You know, you can hate on me one hand. And then, you know, what's funny, though, is when I go and I do big, you know, I want big things. I'll say big things, you know. When I do cool things, they're the first ones at my door, the ones that were knocking me down, to go, hey, bro, like, congratulations. How'd you get that? How can you hook it up? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
A bunch of people out there with their hands out, you know? Or they're sitting there talking shit because they're still stuck in what they're doing, you know, and they don't want to do more, you know? I wrestled in Mexico this year. I never thought I'd ever wrestle in Mexico. I wrestled in Mexico. I literally come home after my tryout for 3 days. I literally come home for maybe a week, and I head to the UK for 3 weeks, you know, on tour, wrestling twice a day every day, you know.
That's so good.
That's, you know, working for Paige's dad from WWE, Paige's dad, Mr. Knight.
Yeah.
You know, there, you know, I'm doing things that people aren't doing, and you know, and there's a lot of wrestlers that are out there doing things that I'm not doing and that I would love to do. And just to know that those guys, that I'm nipping at your heels, man, I'm coming, you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
It's
cool. I mean, the wrestling business is, it's something else. You get those people that, you know, build you up, and those are the people you want to keep around. And you have, that's very few people that you do find. And, a lot of the other people are very salty about others and when they get their breaks or when they're coming up and getting a good run in. And, you know, it's crazy, but it's cool to see how much you've grown. And, you know, I want to tell you how I mean, I'm proud.
I appreciate that.
It's cool seeing. I'm always about, you know, building people up no matter what. You know, if they're down, they're down. It's always, I'm that type of person that I like to stay positive. I like to make sure that everyone around me is doing good. And I've never understood the concept of, you know, tearing someone down because you're not getting what they're getting. It's just, you know, work a little harder and you'll get where you want to get. It's just putting the work in. And
that's it, man. It's putting the work in and not being satisfied. You know, don't be satisfied. Go bigger. Go after something big, you know, because, you know, if you fail, it's because you failed. You know, it's not because the other people failed you. It's because you failed.
That is,
no one else is doing it. It's you. It's your life. It's your mind. It's your body. And if you want something so bad and you can literally picture it in your mind, close your eyes, you picture it in your mind, and you're like, all I got to do is go through 3 days of hell, or I got to go through a week of hell, or I got to do this and that. You know, it's not going to last a lifetime. It's going to last those minutes, those seconds, those hours, those days. And if you put everything you have into whatever you're doing, and you come out on top, that victory is going to be so much sweet. But if you fail, at least you went in there and you gave it everything you got. And for some reason, for some strange parent reason, they said no, but there's always a next time. There's always a next time.
That's really, those are some inspiring words. And as we wind down, you know, I think that ties really well into sobriety and recovery and addiction, and you know, just keep trying and keep giving it your all, because it is up to you. No one else is going to do the work for you, and no one else is. When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, when you're alone in bed, laying there, it's the day's only going to go the way you wanted it to go. And if you wanted it to go positive and you put in that work, then you're going to be able to lay down and go to sleep with ease, knowing that you did what you had to do. And it's admirable all the work that you've done, and I hope that your big break is coming, and I want to see the best for you. I think it's really, really inspiring. I know I keep saying that, but you're very inspirational. That's why I wanted you on the podcast.
You know, it's same thing with, like, it's with anything though. It's with weight loss, or it's with, you know, weightlifting, or being a better parent, or being a better son, being a better daughter, being a better anything, you know, if you want to seriously do it, you just put your mind to it and you can do it. Because the mind is such, just such a bloody powerful thing. It's stupid how powerful the mind is.
That is true. And I wanted to just thank you for being on the podcast. And if how do people get a hold of you, or if they want to book you, or I want to get you, you booked.
You could book all in. No, I'm joking. you can find me on Instagram, Sledge805, Twitter, Sledge805. My Facebook is under my shoot name, which is under Brian Campbell. I have two of them. I have a personal one and a wrestler one. The wrestler one has a wrestling picture. I have an email, sledgevpw@gmail.com. I have merchandise. I have shirts. I have, you know, you name it, I got it. And if you guys, if you need help or anything like that, and I'm kind of hard to get a hold of, but if you guys send me a message, direct message on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, I definitely will reply, and try to, sorry, my daughter's calling me.
No problem.
Yeah, it's okay. And try to answer, as quick as possible.
That's cool, man. Well, thank you for joining us, and, reach out to Sledge if you need that help. It's very inspirational. Thanks for being on the show, buddy.
All right. Thank you so much, man.
And thank you for joining us this week. It was a pleasure talking with Sledge, getting a little insight into his recovery. I know we've had Tim, the running man from Santa Maria, on talking about his sobriety. And now we get another point of view of sobriety and how hard it is and the struggle it is of everyday challenges that addiction does bring upon people that suffer from it. So, again, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. I'm sorry that I was gone for 2 weeks, and hopefully nothing else comes up and I can continue uploading every week. So, just a reminder, the book is out, Spread Hope Like Fire, the 40-day motivational book. It is available at Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com, and amazon.com. You can pick your copy up. Also, I am doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble in San Luis Obispo, California, August 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. I would love to have everybody come out and meet you and talk and sign your book. Sign whatever you got. but it's been a crazy 2 weeks, and I'm back. I'm glad to be back doing the podcast, and I want to hear from you. So send me a tweet at Tony. No, yeah, send me a tweet at TonyTheBeat85, and let's continue the conversation. So for Tony the Beat, I'm Tony the Beat, and remember, take care of those you love. Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody, the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as a educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.